This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Friday, April 19th, 2024, and we have plenty to talk about today, from missing organs to a bridge toll going away, three newborns, one of them a giraffe. After the break, we're going to talk a little NASCAR. My name's Ike Morgan, and we're down in Alabama. Surviving family members of five men who died in Alabama prisons are claiming that autopsies performed by UAB resulted in the medical centers taking organs without permission, reports AL.com's Ivana Rinkew. Now, the families are suing the Alabama Department of Corrections, UAB Medical Center, and other parties. A UAB statement said its protocols require documented consent for disposition of organs that are removed during autopsies, and that its inmate autopsies are done only after the Alabama Department of Corrections certifies that legal representatives of the late inmates have authorized the autopsies. Well, the lawsuit claims that none of the families gave UAB permission to keep organs. This story first made news when the family of Brandon Clay Dotson filed suit in December, claiming his body was returned without his heart. The state is buying the Foley Beach Express Bridge in Orange Beach, reports AL.com's John Sharp. Now, as soon as the deal goes through, expected to be next month, then the toll will immediately go away. For now, it'll continue to be a two-way road. Eventually, after the new Intracoastal Waterway Bridge is completed, the Foley Beach Express Bridge will carry folks away from the beach, while the new bridge will carry folks to the beach. That work right now is expected to be done in a couple of years. The roadway will be State Route 161 all the way to I-10. Now, the goals here are to improve traffic flow and eliminate the tolls. The purchase price, including some road work, is $60 million. Montgomery Police Chief Darrell Albert resigned Thursday, about a week after he was placed on leave, reports AL.com's Carol Robinson. There's still no reason being given. Now, earlier this year, former Montgomery Police Officer Renee Helton filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, claiming she was discriminated against because she would not have an affair with Chief Albert. Neither Albert nor the city have said at this point that that complaint has anything to do with the resignation. The internet has taught me that people love giraffe stories, so we'll do one, even if they're always looking down on the other animals. The Birmingham Zoo announced its first brand new baby giraffe in a decade, reports AL.com's Craig Garrison. A reticulated giraffe calf was born just after midnight Wednesday. A reticulated giraffe calf was born just after midnight Wednesday to 4-year-old first-time mom Ruby. Now, if you're familiar with the Birmingham Zoo, you've seen the dad, Jalil, who's been at the zoo since 2007. Their pairing had been recommended by the giraffe management program to develop a healthy herd in Association of Zoos and Aquariums affiliates. And speaking of newborns, two sets of parents at Huntsville Hospital at the same time discovered they had quite a connection through the names of their brand new youngins. Johnny and Nicole Davis had named their son Johnny Cash Davis. Meanwhile, Carter and Sophie Clark had named their daughter June Carter Clark. Now, Johnny Cash and June Carter, of course, were the husband and wife couple who both played major roles in American music history. But while certainly these aren't their first namesakes, It sure seems like a long shot to happen more than 20 years after Johnny and June passed in the same Alabama hospital at the same time without realizing it. Johnny Cash Davis was named Johnny after his dad, and his folks said they planned to call him Cash. June Carter got her middle name from her dad, and her folks just love the name June. And if anybody out there can help them out, they're looking to have play dates with a Waylon and a Jesse. Hey, we'll take a really brief break and then talk Talladega and NASCAR with auto racing reporter Brand Strickland, who grew up in the area. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The Geico 500 is this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway. Brand Strickland will be covering the race for AL.com. Now, he's in the virtual Down in Alabama studio right now. Welcome aboard, Brand.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Appreciate you being here. Well, tell us what we can look for in this weekend's race. I mean, we got any favorites out there?
I don't think you ever have a favorite at Talladega. Maybe you have a favorite manufacturer or things like that, but the unexpectedness that is Talladega. Vegas is going to say there's a favorite, but in my mind, there's never a favorite when it comes to Super Speedway race. The odd thing about this season, and one of the things to look for, is can Ford figure out what's going wrong with them? They've struggled this season. They're still without a win. Chevrolet and Toyota's taken off, and in my mind, it's the biggest storyline. Is at a place where Ford has had so much success, will they be able to find it again? Hendrick Motorsports is going to be the, as they oftentimes are at Talladega Super Speedway and other tracks, they'll be the team to look for.
Well, who does Vegas like in this thing?
Vegas really likes Denny Hamlin. Chase Elliott are among the top two this weekend, and driving a Toyota and Chevrolet respectively.
Yeah, Chase is a popular driver among fans since, of course, the Earnharts. Historically, everybody loved him in Talladega. Let's just say I was a huge NASCAR fan in the 90s, right? Dale Earnhardt and Rusty Wallace and Dale Jarrett. And the sport, of course, took off in the 90s, especially the late 90s. And then you had video games, and it became so ESPN and national. You know, the argument is maybe it lost a little bit of its, you know, Southern flavor or you know, to hit its niche as a niche sport. I'm looking to get back into it. If I return to Talladega, what am I going to see? Is it going to just shock me how everything's changed?
I wouldn't say a shocking change. The sport's more refined today than it was in the 90s. It's a little more even highbrow. The track looks so much better than it did in the 90s, and I think the way people take in a race has changed and is changing. But I mean, everything has with that track. If you look at the way stadiums looked, your stick and ball stadiums in the 90s versus what the experience is today when you go to a game, they're night and day. And I think NASCAR is the same. I think more people are gravitating towards an experience rather than just sitting in a seat for 3 hours and watching cars go in circles. More people, it seems to me, are opting for let's stay in the infield or let's stay in the campgrounds. Let's get pit passes. NASCAR has done things to make that the sport more friendly when it comes to those kind of things. And I think people are taking advantage of them. And honestly, if it's me, myself, and my neurodivergent nature, I don't want to be trapped in a seat for 3 hours. I have to be able to get up, walk around, and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, when the track's as big as Talladega is, kind of lends itself to that.
Now, Talladega Super Speedway, the track, is sort of a personality to itself, and it's probably so as much as it ever has been, if not more, because of national attention to things like the Will Ferrell movie, Talladega Nights. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the cultural impact and where Talladega, the track, is today?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, jokingly, a lot of people refer to it as Redneck Mardi Gras. And it's to say it's an experience is probably an understatement. It's crazy, man. I hate to just put it simply like that, but it really is. It gets wild, and it's the way that more of the younger people have begun to attach themselves with some of the media outlets, like Barstool jumped head first into auto racing. And I think one of their first experiences, I think their first may have been Daytona, and then they came back and followed it with Talladega. And I think it kind of set the hook there. But it's as more younger crowd gets into it, it seems to be even trending wilder than was for a little time, which is kind of funny because before Talladega Nights came out in the late 90s, as NASCAR was going through that surge, the track itself started, all their promotional things were like, this is a family-friendly event, when all of us knew it's never been. You know, if you stay up in the stands and everything like that, yeah, I'll give you, it can be family friendly, but once the sun goes down, I would not have kids anywhere near the infield at Talladega Super Speedway.
I think that's great parenting advice. Well, speaking of the fan side of you, how'd you come to NASCAR? Did you grow up in a NASCAR family, or what got you in tune to the tracks?
I didn't really necessarily grow up in a NASCAR family, but I grew up close enough to Talladega Super Speedway that you could hear the cars, you know, those two weeks a year. That's how born and raised in Talladega County. It was kind of just a part of everything. And I remember going, I think my dad took me when I was 6 or 7 years old, just, you know, so I could see the magnitude of it all.
Yeah.
I don't think I got bit by the bug until I was in high school. And at that time, we used to call it, or it was called time trials. It wasn't called qualifying back then. And, you know, we may or may not have skipped school, depending on if my mother's listening to this. and went and got our first taste of the race. And that was, I think I've been hooked ever since.
Were you an Earnhardt guy, being from Talladega County?
No. Oddly enough, I wasn't an Earnhardt guy. I was Davey Allison through and through, man. You know, obviously we lost him, but even funny story, my first car that I ever paid for, my non-hand-me-down car, I had Hoosier tires on that car for no other reason than being a Davey Allison fan.
Yes.
That's how redneck I am.
I love that. In the 90s, I was a Rusty Wallace fan. And the reason I was a Rusty Wallace fan was because he was number two. And at the time, he drove the Miller Genuine draft car. So his colors were black and gold. And in high school, I wore number two. And our team colors were black and gold.
Nice.
So I became a Rusty Wallace fan.
You know, I did a story. This has been 100 years ago, but I did a story when I was at the Anderson Star and tried to find kids who picked their, you know, baseball, football, basketball numbers based on, oh, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be three on my football team because Dale Earnhardt, or I was going to be eight at that time because of Dale Earnhardt Jr., something like that. I searched, or I put the feelers out for probably a month before the Talladega race, trying to find somebody. It was harder than I thought it was going to be, given the locale.
Yeah, yeah. Number three would have been a popular one in Little Leagues, I'm sure, for Earnhardt, and then before that, Dale Murphy in this part country. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thank y'all so much for listening to us. The Geico 500 at Talladega will be 2 p.m. Sunday on Fox Sports 1. God bless and have a great weekend. We'll be here bright and early Monday. Until then, y'all come see us on the internet at al.com.